When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
You're listening to another ambitious EntrepreneurNetwork.com podcast, the voice for entrepreneurs and small business. Now, onto the show.
Are you frustrated and confused about how to attract new clients? Nothing you have done is working, and you're tired of waiting for the phone to ring. Imagine learning the tips and tools that will help you get noticed and booked by your ideal client and paid what you're worth for your amazing services. Now's the time to make your dream a reality, and the Ambitious Entrepreneur Show will teach you how. Now, over to your host, Anne-Marie Cross.
So welcome to episode 194. I am your host, Anne-Marie Cross, brand and communication strategist, also known as the podcasting queen. Now, I'm sure we all know that webinars are a great way to build visibility and really showcase our expertise for our businesses. However, imagine running a webinar and almost breaking the world record for the most number of people who attended your webinar. Think it's impossible? Well, you are in for a treat today because my guest has achieved just that. He almost broke the world record for the most number of people in a webinar, among many other impressive achievements. And joining me today is Robert Khoury. Robert is an MBA. He's the number one best-selling author and reality TV pilot host. The Huffington Post called Rob one of the most influential online marketers across the globe, and he was also listed by Startup Australia recently as one of Australia's top 50 entrepreneurs. He's built a super responsive global online community of serious business owners, almost, as I said, broke the world record for the most number of people in a webinar, filled up dozens of live events, been featured extensively in media, launched 3 best-selling books, and signed a reality TV show with Hollywood. And on today's show, Robert's going to share how to fill up our live events, how to do marketing with a low budget, and how to set up an automated webinar system. Welcome to the show, Robert.
Great to be here.
Oh, my goodness. After reading all of that, I kind of wanted to go, amazing.
I've got a real job as well.
Look, before we dive into all of this great stuff, because I'm sure you've got lots to share, I just wanted to let everyone know that the way that we met is that you are also a Microsoft Surface ambassador. Just share with everybody, how are you finding the Microsoft Surface and how are you using it in your business?
I found it amazing. So I used to be a user of one of the competitors who they talk about all the time. Mm-hmm. And I've moved over to the Surface now, and it's amazing. So basically, the touch screen is huge for me. If I see a really good ad on Facebook or on Google Display Network, what I'll do is I can take a screenshot of that and I'll clip it into OneNote and make a few edits and like adjustments of what I think could work or what could be changed, and kind of save that in my marketing swipe file. So every time I go to make a new campaign, I just go through the swipe file and look at all the different things I liked about other ads I've seen, things I didn't like, and then it makes my ad creation process a lot faster.
Mm-hmm. Do you also find, because I would imagine from just reading some of the things that you're involved in, you're very much on the road, you're traveling and things like that. The portability, is that something that you're leveraging too?
Yeah, it's huge. Yeah. And the great thing is it's also a tablet. So when you're on the plane, you can you pull off the keyboard and you kind of work all the way through because it's a tablet, which is fantastic. So you've got a laptop, you've got to kind of plug it down. And when you're flying a lot, like that extra 30 minutes each side of the flight, like it adds up.
It surely does. All right. Well, thank you for that. Let's dive in. I know that many entrepreneurs think that a live event is certainly going to get them exposure, which is fabulous. But then there is one thing, organizing a great event, and then the second, actually getting people to attend that event. And I know this is something that you've been able to do very successfully. So let's see, what are some of the things that you've done that have been really working well for you?
Yeah, well, I've put pretty close to 100,000 people into live events over the last 3 years. It's quite substantial. In a lot of different industries, I've done, real estate, business, public speaking, health. Yeah, so quite a wide range, even architecture, like a real wide range of industries. Mm-hmm. And what I found is the process is exactly the same, no matter which industry you're going after. But basically, you want to start off with really identifying like what the pain points are of that market you want to go after. Mm-hmm. So for example, like if it's the real estate market, like obviously, you know, people that want to buy an investment property, like what are the pain points of those people that are trying to buy an investment property? If it's health, you know, like what health challenges people have that they're trying to wrestle with at the moment? If it's finance, like, you know, what kind of financial challenges people are having? So I always make the seminar or the live event promise to solve that main issue that people have. So that makes a big difference.
Yeah, let's just concentrate on this, because I think that because this is something that you mentioned as the first point, are you saying that many people who are having live events, there's things that they're doing around not being specific enough, they're providing too much, so therefore they're overwhelming, and they're not going deep enough as to what are the pain points. So when people are reading their content or their invitation to attend, it's just falling on deaf ears. Is that kind of what you're seeing?
Definitely. So if you have like a conference for business owners, like seriously, who cares? Yeah. You know, like yeah. It just doesn't mean anything. Or like if it's just a generic business conference or an accounting conference or, you know, a conference about nutrition or about real estate or about finance, like it's just kind of boring. And especially in those kind of industries, like if it's a brand spanking new industry, like if it's like a Bitcoin conference or something like that, okay, yeah. That's kind of new and different and no one's really heard of that before. So maybe that could work. But if it's something like a mature industry like weight loss or finance or real estate or education, business, those types of industries are very mature. So people have seen all those regular kind of claims before. Like if you say, hey, I'm going to do a seminar and show you how to lose weight. Or I'm going to do a seminar and show you how to make more sales in your business. People are like, whatever.
Yeah.
Who cares?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like, so what? So it's really about being very specific and really nailing that pain point to make it work.
What's something else that you found works really well?
So the next thing that works well is sponsorship. Because live events are expensive to put on, to do it well. So whenever I've run live events for myself or my clients' businesses, like I always want to try and put on a good experience for the end user. So we want to make sure we've got food, drinks, a nice venue. If you compare that to, you know, maybe having it for like, you know, at a low cost or a free function room at your local RSL where there's no drinks, you can't get water when you walk in.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very different experience going to a nice venue with nice food and drink. And it depends on what kind of brand image that you want to portray to your customers. With all of our ones, it's not a premium or a high-end image. So you can't really afford to have people come there, you know, after work and not feed them or not give them any drinks or food.
For someone that may not necessarily have the impressive background and achievements that you have, that maybe is looking at approaching a venue, say, and having them come on board as a sponsor, what would be some things that they could position their event to really make it attractive, to really, I guess, entice, if you will, or have these sponsors come on board to say, yes, we would love to be involved?
Yeah, so I've had heaps of different sponsors over the years. I've had one-man band businesses even sponsor, all up to medium kind of companies and large corporates. I've done the whole spectrum. You know what? They all want the same thing, that they all want to get their brand and their business in front of their prospective audience. So what I always do before I start a live event, I look at, okay, who else is trying to sell to these people? What other companies share the same client or customer? And so, for example, like when I did my book launch and I had a big event around that, I wanted to know, like, okay, who else wants to sell to high-end business executives, business owners, senior people in big companies?
Mm-hmm.
Who wants to get to this market? And then so I worked out which businesses would be interested in that, and I approached them. So even the venue, like the venue was really keen to get in front of these people, so they were able to give me a massive discount as a sponsorship. It cost me a fraction of what it would normally cost because they knew that these 300 people that were going to be there are people that book venues and have functions, so they wanted to get in front of them. So that was a big saving. An accountant sponsored it as well. So, I mean, again, like if they just picked up one new client, because they're like a medium, like, you know, more of a medium to large business accountant. So if they picked up one client out of that 300 people that attended, that would pay for the sponsorship. And they got like a 5-minute speaking slot, lots of promotion through the event. They got like a stand at the back. So they got very, very good exposure to those 300 people. And if someone's going to pay me a sponsorship fee, I'm very happy to give them a 5-minute or a 10-minute speaking slot. Absolutely. That's totally fine.
Absolutely. And I know someone is thinking, fantastic, love that idea. If they're looking at running something similar and maybe they've got a service provider, an accountant or someone else, maybe a web designer will fit in beautifully with kind of a sponsorship. If they get a 5 or a 10 minute opportunity to speak, what kind of sponsorship? Like, do you want to give a range of different, like, could they pay for something or is there monetary?
The lowest I've charged is $1,000 and the highest is $20,000.
Okay.
Yeah, so it's a kind of a range. You could go as low as $500 if you wanted to get people on board. You probably wouldn't give them a speaking slot for that. So that might be like a mention by the MC and maybe your desk at the back.
Yeah.
So you want to have a the more that people pay, because you can't have 20 people speaking.
Oh, of course.
So, yeah, you want to have just one
and you
or
get
two
5 minutes at the back. That's of everyone.
Yeah, that's right. So you want one or two max, and then what I've done in the past is have different price points for, like, so if you want a speaking slot, it's going to be in the $5,000 to $10,000 range, even higher. If you're not prepared to do that, but you still want exposure, maybe you can put like a brochure in the goodie bag. We can mention you from stage. You can have a desk at the back. We can even present an offer for you from stage. So that's totally fine, because you can say, you can rattle off 10 offers in a row. You can say, hey, you've got, ABC Web Design Company is doing a free consult for anyone that wants to come in, or whatever. So you can kind of rattle them off really quickly, and then they get really good value because the whole audience is hearing their offer.
And, for someone who's just starting this, I'm sure if you went back and looked at the very first couple of events you ran, you kind of stage things up a little bit. And in other words, the first few events that you do, you're kind of feeling your feet, get building ground, if you will. And as you start to get this reputation, I know that I create really great events and people show up because we've got kind of the right formula. You can then go and approach with, this level of confidence to speak to sponsors, because you're going to get the bums on seats. You're going to get them great exposure.
Definitely.
Yeah. What other things do you do that has worked really well?
Normally on the landing page for the event, so I make sure it's a nice looking landing page. It doesn't have to be amazing, but just has to be just clean, like look kind of at least kind of half modern. You don't want to look like it's a 2007 landing page that's really outdated. So it needs to be reasonably fresh and clean. But I use curiosity copywriting on there. So basically, like, what I'll do is I'll kind of tease what's going to be happening at the event without giving it away. So it'd be like, you're going to learn 5 new strategies to do X, Y, Z, or a surprising new method that's only been released just recently, or this or that. So it's really about surprise, intrigue, curiosity, so that there's a reason for them to want to come along to the event.
And I think what's really important about this is that sometimes when we're looking at putting together an event, the sign-up page, the marketing material can sometimes unfortunately be second thought. But every single stage from, initial marketing, you might be posting or advertising on Facebook, pulling the people out of there and onto your landing page, it all has to be on brand, a simple, sleek message. And if you've got something that really hasn't been thought about and it's kind of jumbled amongst other stuff that you've got on your website, it's just not going to be focused. Do you also have you also found over the years, particularly now that there's a lot of noise, and I think we alluded to that at the beginning, there's a lot of people writing events or running events, and there's a lot of people writing about certain things that sometimes they come across just too salesy, too unbelievable. What have you kind of a balance between that? Obviously influential and intriguing curiosity, but in a way that doesn't come across too hard and too, salesy.
Definitely.
For the want of a different
word.
Yeah.
So one thing to keep in mind is that everybody reads this one person at a time.
Yeah.
So like when you're writing copywriting, like quite often a mistake people make is they think that they're writing to a big audience, whereas you're not really. You're writing to one person because everyone reads it by themselves on their mobile phone or on their computer.
Yeah.
And so you can afford to get quite deep and personal, but that's totally fine. Like I think a lot of people shy away from like kind of really kind of going for it on the sale when you're talking to someone, but it's really like sales. Like it's really have like a sales conversation, but in print, or online. So it's totally like I write all my emails very personally. So they'll be like, I'll be writing it as if I'm writing to you personally.
Yeah. You're connecting with them, aren't you? You really understand. Yeah. As you said, you really understand what their pain points are. So I'd imagine, and I think we use that term, the psychographic. What are people experiencing? What are the emotions that they're feeling? What's the frustration, you know? So when you incorporate that into a really nice, engaging story, as if you were having a conversation, that really speaks to the individual, doesn't it? And has them go, wow, this guy.
And you know what this funny thing is, though? Some people hate it.
Do
some
they?
People just don't like it. Like every time I write an email marketing campaign, I'll get unsubscribes, I'll get replies back saying, I don't like this, it's too salesy.
Yeah.
But you know what? But a lot of other people buy. A lot of people register for the event, a lot of people buy. So it's quite polarizing.
Yeah.
And you know what? It's kind of like water. Like when you first do it, the first time you get that, it's actually a bit distressing.
Yeah.
That you people see people unsubscribing from your database. You're like, oh no, like what's going on? And then
don't
you get replies back.
Yeah.
Yeah. So like I'll get an average of 5 to 10 replies that are not particularly positive every time I send an email out. But it just is what it is, isn't it?
I think
it?
We're like, at the day. Yeah. We're in a marketplace where, and so many people say, and you're doing this really well, you really understand your ideal client, you're speaking to him or her, and as we know, if for those people who don't resonate with that message, they're probably not your ideal client. So you would not want them sitting in the seat, probably giving you kind of rolling their eyes and all that kind of stuff. So it's good, actually, that you do polarize, if you will, those people who are attracted to it, they're your ideal clients and therefore will benefit. And the others, well, good luck. They can go and find, another event to sit at.
That's right. Yeah, that's absolutely right. Mm-hmm. And so that's kind of my approach with it all. But again, like you don't want to overhype it. So you don't want to say, you're going to make $1 million next week because that just doesn't happen.
Yeah.
Yeah, that you've got to be realistic with things. I really feel if you overpromise, there's a good chance that you're not going to be able to deliver on that.
You know, there's a couple of conversations that we've been having with a number of colleagues and people just entering the market. And as you said, they are promising all of these incredible things, but they haven't had the skin in the game, if that's the right term. Whereas you have, because you've been, you've been working for many, many years and have had this great accolades because of the fact that you are saying what you say you do. And now you're helping others to achieve that as well. And I think that really has, I would imagine, continued to build success on success for you as you're running another live event. Because people who have been to previous events, they'll often share with their colleagues, you need to go to that event. Robert does amazing events. You're going to learn a lot. You probably found that too,
definitely.
Yes?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. Is there anything else that you do? So we've got landing pages, has to really speak, and obviously all of the marketing. So if you've got emails and so forth, you've got that you really do need to have great specificity around the problem, what are the problems that they're struggling with, and of course sponsorships you've mentioned too. Is there anything else that you do?
Yeah, we do a lot of Facebook advertising. That's a big rage right now, and there's a good reason, because everybody's on Facebook all the time.
Yes.
If you just look around the street when you cross the road, people are checking their Facebook on their mobile.
Yeah.
So everyone's using that the whole time. So basically what I do with Facebook is, so when I first ran campaigns, if it's like a national tour, I used to run just one ad for the whole national tour. So it might be like, join Australia's top architects at this great event. It was costing me, I think for that particular event, it's costing about, $20, $25 to get someone to register for a free ticket.
Mm-hmm.
And which is okay. That's not bad. I mean, we're getting some of the top architects and engineers around Australia in for $25 a head. So that's not too bad at all. Like, you'd take that. But I thought, well, what if I get smarter about this? And what if I break it down by city and I write a separate ad for each city? And so what I did was, so for Sydney, I said, okay, I had in the Facebook ad, I moved it to a background photo of the skyline of Sydney. And I said, in the ad copy, I wrote, look, join Sydney's best architect, engineers, and construction people. And then for Melbourne, it was a photo of Melbourne's skyline.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, join Melbourne's best architects, engineers. And from that, the cost per opt-in went from $20, $25 all the way down to between $3 to $6.
Wow.
Because they knew it was for their city, it was specific to them, and it was local based.
Mm-hmm.
So, just a very small tweak.
Yes.
But with, like, we could, that means we could have, between 5 to 7 times more people for the same ad budget in the
room.
Absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely. So you mentioned that a lot of the tickets that you offer to these events are free. Do you tend to do that now, that many of your events do have a zero
ticket
price?
Yeah, it depends on the objective. Yeah. So for that Architecture National Tour, one of our sponsors had, like, as a condition of the sponsorship, we had to have at least 200 people in each room.
Right.
They wouldn't pay the invoice at the end, which is fine. You know, that was the conditions of it. So we had to make damn well sure there was 200 actual bums on seat at each, event. And so to do that, I personally felt it was far too risky to put a price point in front of it.
Yes.
To be able to achieve those numbers. So I decided to make it a free event, really loaded up with people. So we had, you know, between 300 to 400 people at each event across the national tour. And that was totally fine because in our instance, like, to have a large number of people to ensure that we secured that sponsorship was far more important than having probably a smaller, tighter focused and higher qualified audience.
And as you say, I mean, every event that you have is going to have a different attention, different objective, and that's going to very much depend on where you focus your attention and so forth. And I think when you start to talk about sponsors coming on board, which obviously sounds like a great idea, yes, you might be looking at boosting your visibility too, but you've also got to keep in mind that you've got sponsors that you need to account to as well, be accountable to, and get those people in there to be able to then, of course, learn more about them as well. So with those particular free tickets, what can sometimes happen, and I love your kind of feedback on this, is that sometimes people can grab a ticket, and because there's no, you know, in other words, they haven't parted with their hard-earned dollar, if you will, then if something happens, they go, oh, you know what, I won't bother going. So I guess one of the things would be, you make it so enticing with the topics that are going to be covered that people can wait to get into the room. Are there other things that you do to ensure that they just don't book tickets, but they actually show up to the event?
Yeah, well, I've had attendance rates as low as 15% for a free event. So you'd have like 1,000 people register and 150 show up. And that's really devastating.
Yes.
Because, you know, you just got this big, long registration list and no one comes. So in the recent event tour, we had about 35 to 40% show up, right? That was last month. So that was pretty good. Mm. I was pretty happy with that, actually.
Yep.
Because it's a free event. If it's a free event, if you're doing 40, 50%, that's best practice. Like, that's really good.
And that's good to know. You know, that's really good to know. So 40 to 50%. I mean, imagine
that's
the
really
day
good.
That you get the 100%. What would you do then? Would you have to go, right, we have to open the walls?
It's from experience. Like, it just never happens with a free event. And even with a paid event. So, like, I've charged ticket prices between, let's say, $29 to about $50 for a paid event. Do you know what? Even still, you only get about 75% show up at that ticket price, which is amazing. You know, people pay the money and just don't come, which is quite phenomenal.
Yeah.
So, like, I found with these introductory events, you know, about 75-80%, even with paid, is probably about the max that you'll get. It's very interesting, the psychology.
Oh, it is.
I've tried so many things. Like, this was an interesting one. I had an offer where it was a free event and we had a paid VIP ticket. So it was kind of like a hybrid. But what I did was I said, look, if you want a VIP ticket for free, you know, I need you to complete some homework.
Mm-hmm.
So I gave like a little manual workbook and it was about 20 minutes of homework. So I had to read the workbook and answer 6 questions about what was in the workbook.
Yes.
And I thought, well, this is good because they're going to engage with the content before.
Yeah.
And, you know, they're getting something of value.
Mm-hmm.
And so out of all of the people that registered, I think only – it was something like 10 to 15% of people only that did the workbook and got the VIP upgrade. I'm like, that's nuts. You know, you're going to save yourself $100. You're going to get free lunch and drinks and all that kind of stuff. All you got to do is just spend a few minutes just writing out a few.
In an area that I'm sure they needed advice and support with, you know, in their business.
And then what I found, so I was speaking to one of the guys that worked really close with Tony Robbins for like 15, 20 years. So just understands events like anything. I'm like, what is going on here? And he's like, well, it's actually a deeper issue than just getting a free ticket. It's actually a lot of people don't value themselves as a VIP. And so it was more of an emotional, psychological thing where they just don't see themselves as a VIP person. So it's just not relevant to them. They just kind of see themselves as a general admission person.
Right. So I wonder in that instance that we might reframe it or relabel it rather than VIP. Isn't that interesting? My goodness.
Very interesting. Yeah. Very, very interesting. So there's a whole lot of different things going on. But I've got a friend that runs live events, you know, every month.
Mm-hmm.
She'll put between 20 to 50 people in a room. She'll charge them all $49 for a ticket.
Yep.
And she gets really high attendance rates, you know, like 75-80% that actually show up.
Yeah.
And they're a good quality audience. They convert really well afterwards because they've paid to be there, so they value the information a lot better. And she's got a great business that runs off the back of that. Mm-hmm, so you don't need massive numbers to do really well.
Yeah. And I think when you, again, it depends what the objective is and if you've got a system that works really well and even the smaller numbers, because one of the things, of course, with a smaller event is you do get to spend more time. It's more intimate group, isn't it? So if someone's using this to then on sell to some services and so forth, being able to spend a bit more time with a smaller group, if you have a higher enrollment rate, then that may very well be the model that you follow. But it's one of these things, trial and error. But I think what you've shared today is just incredible. And even let's just talk about some of the things like with the marketing with a low budget. I mean, some of the things that you've spoken about today is like the Facebook ads being far more targeted, having, if you're going from city to city, having an image where people in that city can relate. Oh, there's the Harbour Bridge or in Melbourne, whatever that might be. You know, that really would help too. Are there any other things that you've done that have really allowed you to decrease the marketing spend?
Yeah, so normally we're looking at affiliate partners or different commercial partners that are happy to kind of push the opportunity up for you. So for example, like one of my clients, they've got like they kind of sell to, you know, people that are 50 plus, and it's more about like investment and retirement and savings and things like that and managing that whole process. And so there's a couple of really good financial publications out there that these people read.
Yes.
And so quite often they're quite happy to email their database for you with an offer, which is awesome. So if you can find like a related kind of media publication or industry where your target market's reading it, quite often those guys are quite happy to send out an email for you. And sometimes they even just charge on a cost per result basis. So they might say, well, we'll charge you, you know, X number of dollars every time someone signs up.
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes they want a fixed fee. They might want to charge you a fixed fee to email their people, but quite often they do it on a cost per result basis, which is great. It kind of minimizes your risk.
With those affiliate partners, I'd imagine that you really want to start to nurture those relationships. Well, first of all, find who you think would be a good affiliate partner and then continue to kind of to build that relationship. Is there a great time frame that if someone's thinking of running an event that you say, you know what, if your event is going to be, say, in October or whatever, you need to start having these conversations and implementing a lot of what we've spoken about today, right? What, you know, is it 30 days, 60 days, 90 days, even more than that? What sort of time frame?
You've had a lot of experience. You can knock it out in 30 days.
Yep.
If it's your first one, you might give it 60 to 90.
Great. Are there any other things that you do that has enabled you to lower your marketing spend?
You can do a lot of things that are free. Or low cost to do, but it involves elbow grease and hard work.
Some hard work. All right.
Yeah,
it's kind of like a pendulum.
Yeah, sure. So it basically can do the easiest way to do it is to spend some money on Facebook ads, you know, and fill up that way because that doesn't require any work at all. It's basically setting up some ads and running them, but it requires marketing budget.
Yeah.
On the flip side, you can do it all for free, but it depends on like how much time you have to allocate to it versus budget.
And I would imagine it would be just doing some of the other things that we were very familiar with, like networking, some of the relationships that you've developed over that time. You might be able to leverage those.
That's right. You might be able to go to a networking event. You might get half a dozen people that can come out of that, but you spend like an hour of your time. And so it's kind of like, and that might be perfectly fine. Like you might be really happy with that. Or you might say, well, an hour of my time, well, I could do a lot more with that. That time, I'd rather just spend 5 minutes in putting out a Facebook ad and spending $100 or $1,000, whatever that is, on that, and then using that hour differently.
You've been doing this for a number of years now, and it's worked really well for you. As you said, the affiliate partners, the Facebook ads, and once you kind of get the right ad that's really capturing attention, just continue to roll that out. Now, setting up an automated webinar system, is that something that you use as part of building awareness and so forth that leads into events? Is that how you use?
No, well, actually, it's to replace events.
Oh.
So this is really cool. So basically, I've got a webinar that runs on autopilot, and it runs, you know, all day, every day, pretty much. So people just see that on Facebook saying, "Hey, you join this webinar. It's starting soon," and then they join it. They know it's not live, so that's totally cool. But it's just great because you can get your message in front of people all day, every day, which is amazing.
Yes, and for introverts, i.e. one of me, having that behind your screen and running, I mean, that's just amazing. So what system do you use? Like, I know there's a lot of different systems, but do you have one that you found really works well for you?
I've used probably about five or six in the past, and basically I decided to kind of get my tech guy to build my own one out. So it's nothing fancy. It's just basically a landing page and it goes to a video that plays when it starts. So nothing fancy at all, but it's designed just basically to try and get the message in front of people. So all of the other ones out there, like, there's heaps of different options, but they've all got one or two things I just don't like at this stage.
Yeah.
So it might change in the future, but any of them actually do work just fine.
Yeah. And, you know, the thing what I like to hear about that is that if you've got someone that is, obviously you've got a web designer or a techie that is able to do that, then once it's set up, there's no massive ongoing costs, which unfortunately with some of these systems, there can be,
Definitely. You're paying a monthly fee and it really adds up. Like, if you have a couple months where you don't even run the webinar or you want to change it or whatever, you're kind of paying for thin air.
Yeah. And so what you're then doing is you've got this video, like a webinar video that you've created. You're using Facebook ads. Obviously, there's like a squeeze page, like the sales page you were talking about with your events. They then sign up and then they're just part of your list then, aren't they?
That's right. It's great. And now, because I've had so many leads that have come through this, one of my clients, I'm actually building out a sales team to follow up with all these leads.
Wow.
So it's pretty amazing, like how fast you can scale it up.
Yeah, absolutely. So, look, this we could just sit here and talk all day. I'm sure there's so much, you can share. But, look, people have listened today. You've given some great, great content and insights on how you're doing things. I'm sure people would love to reach out, find out more about you. What's the best way for them to do that, Robert?
Yeah, they come to the website, feedastarvingcrowd.com. All my contact details are there, and there's the book and all the good stuff there too.
Yeah, fantastic. So what's exciting project have you got coming up for you for your business?
Ah, abundance of them.
Yeah.
So
all coming off the back of these webinar training.
Yeah, they are. So basically if you can really get some good momentum in your business with these live events, it opens up a lot of opportunities.
Yeah.
Because you're just getting in front of so many people and just once you've got that reach and you're seeing a lot of people, just good things just start to happen organically once you've got all these conversations happening.
I think that's the real key, isn't it? To be really focused to whatever system you're putting forward or using, you continue to tweak and monitor, because how often do, as entrepreneurs, do we launch something and we didn't quite get the result and we think, wow, that completely failed, and we throw out everything. Whereas had we gone back, revisited, implemented some changes, we could have had a much different result when we were to launch at the second, the third, and so on many times.
And it's also, and it's important to look, don't just say it failed, actually get down into the data and say, okay, well, what didn't work?
Mm-hmm.
Was it that you didn't have enough registrations, or was the show-off rate too low, or was there enough people there but you didn't really close that well?
Yeah.
What specifically didn't work? Rather than saying, oh, it was a big disaster, that doesn't help anybody. So it's really about digging deep into that data and saying, well, okay, let's take an objective look at this. What actually happened? We spent X. This is the results. Okay, what do we need to make that improvement going forward?
Thank you so much for coming on the show.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Well, that brings us to the end of another show. I do know that you've taken away lots of notes to implement the next time you launch your live event. Please reach out to Robert. As you can tell from today's show, he's a wealth of information on that area. For those of you who have subscribed to our iTunes channel, thank you so much. That means you're going to be the very first person to find out when we launch our show next week with another guest expert. Now, you don't have to miss out. If you want to subscribe, you can. All you need to do is go to ambitiousentrepreneurnetwork.com/AES iTunes. That's ambitiousentrepreneurnetwork.com/AES iTunes. Till next week, have a fabulous one. See you then. We'll be right back.
This podcast is a part of the C-Suite Radio Network. For more top business podcasts, visit c-suiteradio.com.